You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast with me, Robbie Musto, and him, Robbie Earle. Just reacting to the final two games in the Premier League on this Sunday of match week six. Now, the two games involve managers new to the Premier League, or certainly new at these clubs in the Premier League. And the first one to talk about, Rob, is the Arsenal victory against Everton. It was 2-0.
Yep.
And the scoreline suggests that comfortable, Arsenal... it's a good scoreline for them, and that all things are rosy in the garden. Before my thoughts, Rob, what did you think to the match?
You're talking about all things being rosy in the garden. I think when a new manager comes into a club, Rob, there's two things we look at. There's the performances and there's the results. And as a new manager, I think the most important thing is the results first and foremost, because that buys the players into you, that buys the fans into you, and then you can start to work on the detail. And because of that, from Arsenal's point of view, I would say the most important thing today was the result in the victory in the 2-0 that takes them towards the top six of the table. The performances and the style and how it was achieved, I wouldn't say is worrying. I think it just tells Unai Emery there's still plenty of work to do. And I was trying to... Listen, I was marvelling at the Musto rant at half-time when Rebecca asked you about the game. I thought it was almost like a segment from Arsenal TV, and the guy Robbie's asking a guy there, and you were letting it go outside the Emirates. And in many ways, I didn't disagree with most of what you were saying in terms of... I took it another way and said, OK, let me put myself in Unai Emery's position. I'm a new manager at this football club. I want to start us playing out the back because that's the way I want to retain possession and build our attacks. We weren't very good at it, actually. We turned the ball over a couple of times and got high-pressed by an Everton team and got a little bit lucky that Petr Cech had a good day. So that was from the back. From midfield, in terms of control and supplying the players ahead of you, that didn't really work that well either, certainly in the first half, but it could get better. I'd have to change personnel, maybe change the system. And then the front players, who I know are match winners, didn't get much service, didn't get in positions where they can hurt the opposition. Maybe I've got to get them service to get them going. How do I get more service in midfield? So most of the three elements of what I'm looking for, there was had to be huge improvement, or had to be improvement in the second half. We got a bit of that. And in the end, I thought Arsenal's first goal, which was the key goal in the game, was scored by a player that maybe Richarlison at his best can score, but nobody else in the Everton team can do that. So the quality of Arsenal's front players, getting them in the positions where they can hurt the opposition, got them the result today, but there's still plenty more work to do.
So I'm not sure I agree, you know, when you say that right now it's about results. I do agree that the first few, you want results to jump up the table, to take any kind of pressure off. But I think, Rob, it's almost more important the performance and what you're seeing with the team in terms of performance. Now, you know, I just think, you know, it's a good result. And Lee Dixon said afterwards, a win is a win, and it can paper over some cracks, and that's okay. I just think that the issues we're seeing today, Rob, is not something, is more concerning than what you're saying. You know, you're kind of saying, you know what, it's going to get better. It'll iron out with some time. I just worry. I mean, it's match week six now.
Yeah.
And the amount of times that Everton got in behind that defence without being tremendously great combination play to do that is just worrying. It's just worrying. And with a new manager, with a pretty much a squad that's, you know, there's a few injuries, but for the most part, I mean, Koscielny's out, Mkhitaryan was a doubt today, but for the most part, everybody's fit. And just that the lack of cohesion, the lack of a real kind of strong work ethic where you can see they're working very, very hard, I just, you know, you went through the different areas of the field for them.
Yeah.
And there was very few positives. The one positive of this game was the goal from Lacazette. The second goal was clearly offside. And you're right, Everton didn't have the firepower and the finishing ability or craft or quality to make them pay. But I'm looking longer term, Rob, and that's maybe why we're a little bit different. You know, these issues against better teams, they will get put away. They will get behind in games. And I just think, wow, where, how, when and where does this team really start to come together?
Well, okay, and maybe that we do tend to differ. I think I said it and over the course of everything, I think this is a season-long project. To get Unai Emery to a position where he says, okay, I think he's finding out about players in roles. I think he's finding out about systems. I think he's finding out about the way that his Arsenal team are going to be successful. And that might take him a season. So,
and how might that look? How might that look? How is he going to say something very different?
That might look very different from what we've got. I think that might look at another centre-back coming into the football club. Possibly another full-back coming into the football club. Torreira, I think, will start. Guendouzi looks like he's going to be a player. Does he mature enough to start? Does a third midfield player come in there that gives them a little bit of stability? And they go three up front. Aubameyang one side, maybe Lacazette and Ozil is a front three floating around. Mkhitaryan is an option. You don't know what's going to happen with Aaron Ramsey. So what I'm saying is I think this is a, not a learning process, but it's part of a progression. And if while the progression's going on, you can win games, that's a good thing because people buy in and confidence stays higher. Nobody's talking about progression at teams like West Ham, at teams like Newcastle, at teams like maybe you even look at Everton at the moment. Results haven't been good enough for a new manager going in. Mauricio Sarri got a pass because, you know, up until today, 5 games, 5 wins. He's still learning. I think today we'll talk about them.
But you can see what he's done, Rob, can't you?
I think
a big change in style that he brought in there, and it's worked out, and you can see what he's doing.
He's changed, but Mauricio Sarri had to change his style of football. Unai Emery is changing a culture at a football club. It's a lot bigger thing. Players are being pushed day to day. I would think Arsenal players going, wow, we never had this before. For some of them, for 10 years, Rob, are having a different way. That affects you. That changes you. That's a different style. I'll go to what I think are a couple of positives. The first clean sheet today is important for a club who's going to be successful. Rob Holding coming onto the pitch, I think, could be an Arsenal centre-back of the future, given the games, given the experience. If he matures, we've got to start to see players like him been given the opportunity, and let's see, is he an Arsenal centre-back or not? So, of course, there's lots of things to be negative, lots of things to improve, but on the whole, a win's a win, and I think Unai Emery is learning as he goes along.
Maybe my expectations are too high, Rob. You know, I just see players like Lacazette and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who's a top-class striker. Yeah. Lacazette's a goal scorer, we know that. Aaron Ramsey is an experienced international player. Mesut Ozil is a champion player from Germany with their national team. You've got international players everywhere else now. And I guess I expect more. You've got a goalkeeper that's... I just couldn't believe how poor they were in the first half. And yes, clean sheet today somehow, and no other clean sheets. Two late sloppy goals conceded on Thursday in the Europa League against Vorskla. So yeah. I just keep seeing lots of issues defensively, and I wouldn't mind if some of the attacking play was silky and it was like, wow, this is exciting football, but I didn't see that, and I saw a poor defensive look. So yes, of course, work to do, and maybe he will change the system at some point. I kind of admire him, Rob, because he hasn't he does want the philosophy, and he does want those attacking players out there, and he does want to play out from the back, and he does want to produce a pleasing on the eye team.
Yeah.
But my goodness, they looked
You're not prepared to give him this season to start to get that in place.
I'm not the guy that's gonna you know, want somebody out or whatever, anything like that. Of course not.
No.
I mean, that's just not who I am. I think you've got to say what you feel when you see a game of football. And I understand the situation with where he is in his development. But I would have expected some improvement in certain areas up to this point. No clean sheets, and they were lucky today to get a clean sheet, and the game could have been a bit more awkward without that second goal going in. But
One last on that, because I also was with Chelsea. Does Europa League football sometimes blunt Sunday games? I know sometimes there's rotation of players and it's different, but a Thursday night and a Sunday night are just difficult for players who are playing in the two games. That you get back on the late Thursday or the Friday morning, you have a little rest and recovery, you have Saturday to play, Sunday. Is that an excuse for top class players?
I think generally it's not, but in this case, when we've just been talking there about kind of organisation and shape, and it does restrict the amount of time you can spend with the players on the training ground. We know that. I mean, you know, Thursday, you're going to have a day off. We'll do very, very little, just a recovery session on the Friday. You know, Saturday, you're then preparing small-sided game, set pieces, ready for the Sunday game. So I do get that, and that's a reasonable point. Listen, I thought it was a really good appointment. I'm excited to see what he does. I've just got to say it how I see it right now.
Absolutely.
God, Rob, it was...
That's
until
what we
that
love
goal
about
went,
Robbie Musto. But in the say what you
half,
see.
I know,
say
but, you know, even when that goal went in, it's like the guys, Arlo White and Lee Dixon, that were in the stadium, they're like, wow, this is starting to... Because it was so
just
poor.
Changed,
so a very important goal from Lacazette. And maybe...
An offside goal from Aubameyang.
Yeah, which really helped them settle down. And it was a body blow. Took the stuffing out of Everton after that point. But maybe Arsenal can build on this clean sheet and see what they can do for the next few weeks.
Let's talk about the other manager then in the dugout, Marco Silva. We've talked about a big job for him, a big opportunity. They've spent money. I'd say a difficult start to the season, Rob. Hasn't gone swimmingly. I think of the first game against Wolves, they get Jagielka sent off. Then a couple of games in, Richarlison's looking great, he gets sent off. Today they'll say, the offside goal maybe took the stuffing out of them. I mean, there's been a few injuries, form, suspension, quite a few changes. Went with a youngish kind of outfit today. Where are we with Marco Silva and his project at Goodison so far?
Well, it's a difficult job. I think that's the main thing. I mean, you think about their schedule, Rob. I mean, they are sitting in 12th, and no problem. Yeah. They're six points from six games, but they've played Wolves, Southampton, Bournemouth, Huddersfield, West Ham United, and this was, of course, a tough game today. Yeah. And they've got Fulham coming up, they've got Leicester City, Crystal Palace before they play United away. So it's kind of a nice, gentle start for them, and it's been difficult. You know, the quality, the attacking quality is the concern a little bit. Calvert-Lewin goes through early on, should score one-on-one. Richarlison looked bright, and he gave the best moments.
Yeah, I thought he
moments.
Gave Bellerin problems.
Yeah, Sigurdsson's a little bit of quality now and again. And, you know, I think Marco Silva will organise a team pretty well. I think defensively they're not awful. I think Lucas Digne, at left full-back, looks really good. Looks really composed, and as a nice footballer there. It's just, can he get consistent performance from his attacking players? Have they got enough quality? Cenk Tosun was rotated out of the team or dropped, whatever you want to say. Yeah. Calvert-Lewin, Theo Walcott came out. Cenk Tosun comes back in. Bernard is a player that might spark something. Adamola Lookman, Robbie Earl, just in terms of what the options he has to try and liven up the attack. How about this? What do you think to this? Theo Walcott, go and play up front. Now, I know, I'm not sure... Another way whether you like that or ever wanted him to do that for Arsenal. I thought he's always worth a look as a centre forward to get to, with that pace in behind. You can bring in an Adamola Lookman as a wide player or even a Bernard and just give a little bit more quality, Rob. Just a little bit more quality in the team with Lookman. I think he deserves a run in the side now. You know, you have Lookman and Richarlison and Sigurdsson, maybe Theo Walker up front. You know, just what other ways is there to Marco Silva to work his squad to try and get more something in the...
Do you know what
point?
I was looking at today, and suggesting you go Theo Walcott, I was going the other way and go...
Oh, I think...
Richarlison. I looked at Arnautovic at West Ham and saw what he did, and from a wide position, a big lad who's got all the things he can head in, he's got good feet. I just wondered...
My worry
with Theo is he's not really the goal threat. You know, he's got the pace, but he runs offside a lot of times, so he'll break down your natural rhythms. Just wonder if maybe he could do that, maybe put Lookman on the right, put Theo on the left, coming in on his right.
Yeah, it's a good shot.
Might those three enjoy playing together with good pace, and Richarlison's got that... You know, we know he's got finishing ability. He might quite like being the man as well.
Yeah, he scored for Brazil, Rob.
He played
up front
of goals,
in the last game, I think, with Gabriel Jesus. Yeah, he's got a couple
name
of goals.
Yeah,
and he played in a central position. So I forgot about that, and that's a great shout. Yeah, why not? Get him up front. There's a quality, and then you bring somebody else in that midfield.
Love to see that.
But, yeah, I mean, it's early yet, and Marco Silva is finding his feet a little bit, but maybe... not great recruitment over the last couple of years when they did spend a lot of money on new players.
No.
Just means that, wow, you know, they're a little bit short on quality. But
yeah, I agree. I think it's a time, you know, maybe just bed down a bit, solidity, back this guy, you know, top 10 finish, I think, is about somewhere where they should be looking this season. And then they got to start to build on you know, the good young players, the new stadium, all the buzz that was around at the start of the season, and start, you know, trying to climb their way towards that top six. So more work to do for Everton, not quite maybe as much for Arsenal, although they got the win, and Musty thinks Unai Emery's got his work still cut out. Let's go to the other game, Rob. No goals in this one. West Ham, Chelsea. Chelsea, 100% record coming into the game. Kind of stuttered a little bit, found it difficult to get some of that rhythm that they had. Started with Giroud up top, and Morata came on. Eden Hazard didn't score. Chelsea didn't win. Any cause for concern there? Was this a little bit flat again after a European now?
Yeah, a little bit, wasn't it? A little bit. I mean, just a little bit of a struggle. And the only concern I've got with Chelsea a little bit, with this style of football, the small passes and everything else, I think it totally allows your opponents to get behind the ball. It just does. You know, whether it's a four or five, another line of four or five, and then one player that can come deep, it makes it very difficult. And Chelsea, unlike Man City... See, Man City have this style, of course, but they play with a lot more attacking width and high width, and they try and force those areas. They try and get into the little areas in behind that we've talked about many times to get in behind defenders to pull back for tap-ins. Chelsea don't quite have that. They're wide players come infield, and Eden Hazard's been brilliant, absolutely fantastic with this combination with Giroud. But today, those combinations were closer. It was difficult
tight,
for them.
Wasn't it?
It was tighter.
Yeah, the 4-3-3 that they played.
Yeah, West Ham United. So
compact.
I've seen that before this season, Rob. But I think there was a late goal. I can't remember which game it was, but they got a late couple of goals, and it totally took the thought process away from Chelsea. At times might struggle to break down teams. We saw it today. I think that today, and it might be okay for Chelsea this season with the new manager, that's going to be their frustrating, not bad game, that they can't find a way through, but they have so much of the ball, you know, they're not going to concede many. That being said, back to your question, there still is a worry about them on the counter-attack and defensively, because they gave up some chances today.
The best chances in the game went to West Ham, weren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, Yarmolenko, a couple of goals last week, I'm not sure how he quite misses a header, in all honesty.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's just... and that will be the way... I know Carl Martino, our buddy, of course... He's worried about N'Golo Kante playing in a higher role.
Yeah,
he's worried about Jorginho's ability to track runners or to be defensively minded when the ball turns over. Mauricio Sarri doesn't want the ball turned over, so he's kind of okay with that risk.
Yeah.
But I think it's a fair point. And today they could have lost the game against better teams if they turn the ball over. Jorginho is no real protection for the back four, and the fullbacks will probably be forward. So, and that's okay. It's a risk he's willing to take. Mm. But I guess over the period of the season, we'll see whether that's the right strategy from Sarri to be as, not gung-ho, but as expansive and open, trusting their passing and attacking qualities more than the defensive cover.
It's interesting, the Jorginho angle, because I was looking through social media as the game was going on, and Opta came up with a stat, which really, Jorginho made 180 passes today. That's the most of anybody in the league for over 14 years. But that is the kind of player he is, but maybe doesn't quite see the danger or block the holes in the manner that Kante was, because his game's more about, let's keep it, I'm giving it you, let's give it back. Not necessarily seeing maybe the danger when the opposition have the ball. I'm just going to take a slightly down another little route in terms of Chelsea, and it's something we've touched on in the last few weeks, and big Olivier Giroud started, Morata came on. I just wonder how long Chelsea, that it wasn't the Hazard day that we've had in the last couple of weeks where he could quite create that little bit of magic. I thought today for a top team was a centre forward wins your game with one goal. It was an Aguero goal. It was a Diego Costa goal. It was a Harry Kane goal. It was a Mo Salah last season. It was one of those guys who you rely on and you say, 0-0, okay, football wasn't as great, we couldn't break them down, but bang. Of the 22 goals my centre-forward's going to score, today's one was a 3 points. I thought that stood out to me is what's missing from this Chelsea team.
Couldn't agree more. Chelsea, they won't win the Premier League this season with this team, with this group. Mm-hmm. They just won't. Eden Hazard has a history of not getting big numbers. Now, that might improve this season, and I think it will. He started off tremendously well, but is he going to be the guy, Rob? He plays so often, so much of the time away from that that goal because he wants to be involved in the play. They aren't going to score, for me, enough goals. Again, I know they've started really well. They're not going to score enough goals to win this Premier League.
No.
They're going to have possession. They're going to have territory. They're going to get caught on counterattacks in certain games, but they're not going to win games with a Diego Costa or a Didier Drogba goal or another striker that, as you said, can between Willian, Pedro, and Hazard. I mean, Kovacic's not going to get a lot of goals. Is he going to get double figures? Probably not.
No.
N'Golo Kante is not. And Jorginho is certainly not. The defenders, you can't ask them to get those kind of numbers.
So it's all about the front three, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's about the wide players because the two strikers, I don't think it's going to get big numbers. That's what's going to hold them back. Now, it's going to be some good football and they're going to win a lot of games and they're going to enjoy their football, I think, because having the ball all the time is just, that final little piece. It was Gonzalo Higuain, wasn't it, that was Napoli with Sarri that did so well. Maybe it was a couple of years ago, two or three years ago now, a little bit further back. Somebody like that can play with those midfield players, but also has got an eye for goal, that's what they could do with.
Yeah. It was really interesting as well, Maurizio Sarri, after the game, I heard one of the post-match interviews said that, in terms of Liverpool and where they are, he said we're 12 months behind them. I think he's right in that. I totally agree. Let's not forget as well that Liverpool and Chelsea meet each other on a couple of occasions coming up in the Carabao Cup on Wednesday and then on Saturday in the Premier League. So two teams who started so well, obviously Liverpool slightly ahead at the moment. A chance maybe to just weigh up both sides and see where they are.
It's going to be great, isn't it? For the Saturday game, the Premier League at Stamford Bridge against Liverpool, I mean, that is the ultimate test for Chelsea's trust in we're going to pass it and we're going to spread out and we're going to be vulnerable if we give the ball away badly, because Liverpool they're primed to force turnovers and they're totally primed to really hurt you on the counter-attack with the pace they've got, of course, from those front three players. So it really is a big test, and Liverpool for me would be favourites given what we've seen so far. And I think he's right, the manager. I mean, he can't be expected to be complete so early, and he will pick areas that he needs new players and the funds he'll hope will come in January, but probably more likely in the summer. To get the team to a point where he wants it for the future.
Absolutely. Let's turn attention to the Hammers, because it looks like a slight turnaround in fortunes for them. Good win away against Everton last time out, and a credible point against the team, 100% Chelsea coming in today. Starting to see a little bit more stability and kind of determination, organisation from this West Ham team that we talked about, Robin. They had no Arnie today, and out of it was injured. Antonio played up front. You could see that was a miss. But having said that, we've said, if they take the chances, they'd probably nick a 3 points.
They certainly had chances to do it. And I think the difference has come with the change of shape, Rob. He relied, or he thought he could get away with, with Jack Wilshere and a Mark Noble. Two players in there. He basically needs three. I just think he does. And today was a time where that worked out. He's got Yarmolenko and Felipe Anderson to come back in to make a five across midfield to make it difficult for Chelsea. But the fact they have got some attacking flair will help them this season. And maybe as the games aren't quite so hard in the future, Rob, we'll see West Ham be more expansive and going back to that way. But, I think it's fair play to Pellegrini. We weren't sure whether he could... Not that you'd handle it, but it's different for him, isn't it?
That's struggling
not
a little
one of the
bit.
Better
chasing,
ones in the league. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think there's good signs there. I mean, I think it's important, the last couple of results, and that's when, goes back to your point, a new manager needs results immediately.
Yeah.
And I think for him, it is about results right now, and he's got a couple of good ones, and that will give the squad belief that, listen, we can play against Chelsea in the way they're playing and get a result, so that it's good news for them.
They play against Chelsea today. They play at home against Manchester United next weekend, which makes an interesting game. A West Ham team that's maybe building in confidence. A United team that we saw not playing anything like Jose Mourinho wanted yesterday. I mean, one to look forward to from West Ham's point of view. I remember it. Historically, going to the past, West Ham love hosting Man United down at where it used to be the bowling ground, now at the London Stadium. They love a game against Man U.
Yeah, and... Manchester United now, Rob, I look at the league table in the Premier League, they're seventh right now after six games, which, they finished second last year and behind some teams there that you'd expect them to be further ahead. I'm just thinking back to United game, Rob, of yesterday, of the Saturday match and the draw with Wolves. We didn't get to, I was going to ask you on the radio show yesterday, I wanted to ask you about Alexis, because I had one eye on Man City game, I had an eye on the Liverpool game. All the big games were mostly really on at 10 o'clock yesterday, Eastern time, in the window.
Yeah.
You kind of hinted that Alexis looked quiet and disappointing. Talk to me about Alexis Sanchez.
I'll talk to you about Alexis Sanchez. In the player that was at Barcelona that scored and made goals, but probably struggled to fully establish himself. The player that came to Arsenal, who was one of the, if I'm picking 11 Premier League players, he's one of them.
Absolutely, yeah.
He moves to Manchester United, and if I'm not wrong, I think has scored only three goals maybe since four goals in total. To the point, Rob, where the best performance Alexis Sanchez has put in for Manchester United was on the piano when he arrived, announcing that he'd moved from Arsenal in the swap deal with Mkhitaryan. I saw a really interesting tweet today that somebody said, "Oh, just think if we still had Alexis, how our front line would look." And they said Ozil, Aubameyang, and Lacazette. To the point where they're saying, actually, this guy left us and is now a way worse player than when he was here. Robbie looked, his body language doesn't look good. His intensity and that ability, you know, like he used to take fullbacks on. If the fullback won the ball, he'd chase all over the pitch to go and find that ball back. Well, some of that's gone. His relationship with his teammates looks interesting and a little bit difficult to me. I've seen him and Pogba have a few things. Him and Lukaku, the link-up's not anywhere near it should be of two players of that quality. To the point where Anthony Martial must be looking and saying, OK, I've had my difficulties and that, but when is my time? He came in, he played in midweek and scored. The Martial before Alexis came was getting back into a real nice groove.
Really was.
And now we're seeing a Martial who's sat on the sideline, seeing a guy in his spot who's basically not really pulling up any trees.
Listen, Rob, for me here, I'm going to be quick again because I want another answer from you. And that question is, why? Why are we seeing this Alexis? What is it that's making him perform this way? Give me your thoughts on that.
I think he's lost a little bit of the fire in his belly. I don't know whether 300 grand a week does that. I don't know, moving to a football club. His relationship with his teammates, and we were hearing there was a little bit of stuff going on at the end of Arsenal, is strained, and I don't think that's ever helpful. I think he's also with a manager who will veer towards the defensive side of his game or the attacking. That being said, to be honest, he goes one-on-one with the defender. That's got nothing to do with Mourinho. He doesn't look like he's going to go past people anymore, Rob. Everybody said that he needed a rest. He played a lot of football. Mm. He's had a summer's rest, and it's a problem. It is a problem. On form now, Alexis Sanchez wouldn't be in my best 11 for Manchester United.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing you said that.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, when you consider that signing, and, I mean, wow. I mean, he's a worker, mostly. Yeah. And you think with that quality that it's exactly what they need, a player that can do something a little bit special.
Yeah.
I would tend to go more on the environment and the style of the manager.
Does that give him an out, Robert? A player of that quality? What, it's affecting all the dressing room?
No, it doesn't give him a total out. It doesn't, because when he's been on the ball, you know, who cares about style and what the philosophy is? You've got to be sharper and cleaner and more accurate, where he hasn't been. So I think the worrying thing that you said there, and I think it was your first point, is he's lost a bit of fire in the belly with his contract. Then that's not what fans want to hear. I mean, he went to end of contract, didn't he, with Arsenal, which enabled a huge salary for him at United.
Yeah.
And I hope and pray that that hasn't taken away edge off his motivation or his drive. If he's saying, you know what, wow, I'm getting guaranteed this huge amount of money. I don't need to really pull my finger out to play as much.
You've just sparked a thought there, because remember at that time when he was 6 months ago and he was talking about, I don't know, they were talking about 50 million in terms of money, and Man United did the swap, but Man City were involved, weren't they, at all, and Pep was, and then they pulled away. Now I'm just thinking, you talk about environment and all that, do you think the 300 grand a week, he may have earned something similar at City, let's just say for argument's sake he does. Does he still have the hunger when he goes to Man City under that management in that environment or not?
Brilliant question.
Is the money the thing?
No, it's not.
No, correct.
I mean, I It's a brilliant analogy, because if he had went to City, I mean, I think he announced to his teammates, didn't he, early, that he thought he was going to City.
Yeah,
didn't
I thought
work.
He was gone, yeah.
But I can't, I just think Pep would somehow cajole. I mean, it might take him a little bit of time to settle that, because, you know,
different
again,
way
he's worked,
that.
With him before at Barcelona, of course. But no, I think it's a great point, and my immediate reaction is no. I think he would be playing to a much higher level, enjoying his football, getting on with his teammates a lot better, and just generally being a better player. So I still believe that is the strongest kind of angle on this, is the environment is hurting his game and not helping him where it would be at Manchester City. I mean, do you disagree with that in any way?
No, I totally agree. And I just think, well, I think it was a radio show or the last podcast, you said to me, you know, is Jose, you know, is he okay now? And it's almost like, listen, we're back to where we were with Jose, Rob. They've got Manchester United play Derby in the Carabao Cup. Let me tell you, this Carabao Cup, League Cup, however you want to call it, it's starting to be important for some managers, you know.
Yeah.
There's only so many prizes that are going to go around. There's only so many teams that can win this league or win the Champions League. So this Carabao Cup might just be for Jose, for Pochettino, for Sarri, for players, for managers like that. And, you know, big game against Derby, Frank Lampard, his old player, so that all that will be rejuvenated. Then away to West Ham next weekend. Let's say they didn't go well in the Carabao Cup and didn't win at West Ham. Let me tell you, Rob, it's all back on again. It's absolutely all back on again.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is I said this a few weeks ago when the crisis was fully on. I think he sees it through. I think he limps through to the end of the season. I'm not sure what he's going to win, if anything, this year. I don't think they're going to win the Premier League. Maybe he'll put his efforts into a cup.
Yeah.
But I think United will, towards the end of the season, start looking for a new guy to come in the summer.
So a Louis van Gaal type kind of thing.
Well, I don't even know.
He won the cup, didn't he, but didn't save him.
Yeah, but yeah, and then it was just like, you know what, the time to go in a new direction.
Yeah.
And this will be 3 years for Mourinho, and yes, some early success and some trophies, but no real sense of, you know, how is this going to get better? How is it going to look a lot better without spending a lot of money? If you trust this guy, which they may do, I might be wrong. Yeah. They might say, you know what, Jose, what do you need? Okay, let's get rid of five or six players. Let's rebuild this thing. There's no guarantee he's going to be successful. There's no guarantees that the football's going to be great. And it is going to cost a heck of a lot of millions of pounds to build something that he might want. That's for that reason, I think this project changes direction in the summer. With a new guy. But listen, that's a long way off, and a lot of things can happen between now and then, but that's my gut feeling, and it remains the same.
Yeah, I'd agree, mate.
Okay, if you don't have the NBC Sports Gold Premier League Pass, now is your chance to check it out and get a free preview starting this Wednesday through Monday, October 1st. Watch exclusive matches and shows live and on demand. Act fast this Wednesday to get the free preview. Sign up at NBCSportsGold.com. Terms apply. Now, my friend, Washington DC Fan Fest, a lot of fun this Saturday upcoming. A lot of big games culminating in Chelsea versus Liverpool in the Premier League. Just going back to last year, mate, we did this at New York City, a big success. I think everybody that was there enjoyed the day. I think we as broadcasters and the whole company love broadcasting from that environment with the fans, with the singing, the chanting and the breakfasts and everything else.
Absolutely.
We're doing it again, mate, and I think this is first of a few.
All over again, and we've got, would you believe, Super Alan Shearer down there, Premier League's all-time top scorer, 260 goals, Robbie Musto.
Yeah,
and I'm going to talk about the bruises I've still got on my head and my ears, where Big Al used to bash me in the head as he was going in for headers. Brilliant to have him there and share maybe some thoughts, some old stories from days in the past. We've got Ali Krieger, US World Cup winner with Women's World Cup winner, CONCACAF Champions League winner. She's going to be down joining us, Rob, so we can talk to her about where she sees the women's game and next year's Women's World Cup coming up for the US, where they stand in that one. And we've got Paulo Ferreira, former Chelsea fullback who won three Premier League titles, Robbie Musso, two under Mourinho, one under Angelotti, and was part of the Champions League winning squad under Roberto Di Matteo. Yeah. So
legend.
Actual legend. And I'm thinking who the 2v2 is going to be.
Oh, no.
Actually, it could be 3v3, couldn't it? Shearer, Krieger and Ferrero, Martino, Earl, Musto.
Fancy it.
I'm worried, by the way.
Why?
I mean, your leg. Can you keep your legs closed this time? I mean, Ashley Cole nutmegging last season is still again. On the highlight.
There
reel.
Was a story about that. I had to try and foul him for Mark Clattenburg, and he took the opportunity.
Oh,
and
here
it, and
we
it was,
go.
To be fair, it was good. It was clean. Here that won't go. Happen again. But I'm think
thinking.
Right.
I'm thinking what. Man-to-man Shearer, Earl, take him out of the game? Is that the shout?
I think that's got to be the... I think that the given the abilities of us three, I think it's got to be a counter-attacking performance. I think me and you will be containing, we'll be tracking, and we'll right, win the ball back, and we'll trust. I mean, are we right in trusting Carl Martino to make the magic happen at the other end?
In
counter-attacking.
In Martino we trust. Yeah, I got you. But no, it's going to be great, mate. We'll get to see the Washington fans. And I always think, you know, we have a great job, the best job in the world, sitting in the studio looking at the game from the cameras. But it's nothing like sharing it with fans who go through every emotion, who kick every ball, who sing every song. And that's something we kind of miss a little bit in the studio, isn't it? So great
to be. And we have great conversations,
with.
By the way, Rob. I mean, not everybody in there, of course, is going to agree with what we think about their team. And
I'm just wondering how the Arsenal fans and Robbie Musto is going to get on. Extra security for Musto, I believe, coming and thinking. But no, and that's what's great. You know, we all got opinions. We all love the game. We're all trying to, you know, we don't have any favourite teams. We want to see them all doing well and nobody getting relegated. But that isn't the real world. And, you know, Newcastle fans and Cardiff fans and Huddersfield fans, how do they think as well as those, you know, Liverpool fans? Is this thing going to break or are we going to see them continue on the run? So, no, lots to look forward to. Really looking forward to that one. So that's it from us, mate. We want to always hear from our listeners, and first we'd love you to rate and review the show by downloading the Two Robbies on Apple Podcasts. So that's it from us on a day when Chelsea lose their 100% record at the London Stadium, but Arsenal recovered from a slow start to make it 5 wins in the last 5 games under Unai Emery. Remember that Gold League Premier League pass free on Wednesday, and look out for that fan fest next weekend in Washington DC. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musto, together with the Two Robbies. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.